Psalm 119. Starting in verse 103. Just to get us going. Reading through verse 105. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God, we just ask for your power today, Lord. I ask, God, for a new measure of power and anointing on me today as I communicate your word. Thank you for the activity of your word and activity of your spirit through your word already today, God, as we've declared things in your word as the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive and it's active, God, and it's sharp. Just thank you, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, as even I continue forward in speaking and declaring your word, Lord, that you give me power. You'd anoint my tongue, Lord, that you would help me to speak as you've commanded me to speak. Lord, as an oracle of God, just pray that my thoughts and the intentions of my heart would be acceptable to you today, God. And if there's anything in me that's contrary to you, Lord, even reveal it now by your Spirit that it can be dealt with, Lord. I pray for no hindrances on your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I recently had a conversation. She doesn't know I'm going to tell you this, so hopefully I don't embarrass her. But I recently had a conversation with my oldest daughter, Kylie, about some of her study practices in school, in particular with focus toward her Bible class. Most of you know that have been here for a while, she attends Trinity Christian School, which, by the way, is an awesome school. I would recommend it to anybody. It's Trinity Church. It's an Assembly of God church in Sharpsburg. They facilitate and run that school, so I want to give them props. They have helped us tremendously. They're awesome. So that was my shameless plug for the day. But as part of the Christian school experience, they have a Bible class on a daily basis. And every Friday, as part of their Bible class, they have a test on a particular verse or passage of verses of Scripture. They memorize, and then they're given a test, and they're supposed to answer the questions correctly to let the teacher know that, you know, they had studied and they'd memorized the word. And I just took an opportunity, because I saw Kylie, you know, she's doing what anybody would do. She actually was doing what I would do when I was in school, you know, take a text and look at it, try to say it over and over again and remember it. And, you know, hopefully when she got there on Friday that she would remember it enough to do well on the test, because she knew that her father was going to be waiting for those grades. You know, so she's going to take that test and she's going to do the best she can, because she knows and understands that consistent bad grades is not a good thing in our home, right? And we are going to bring the hammer if there's consistent bad grades. So she understands and recognizes it. So she's looking at this Bible. She's going, oh, shoot, I got to get the grade. I got to get a good grade, you know. And she's cramming before she goes. You know, she's cramming before she gets to the class. And I said, you know, Kylie, you know, I understand where you're coming from, because quite frankly, I was a lot like her when I was a kid, you know. She's not a kid, a young person. But I said, hey, take an opportunity. Not everybody your age, not every person that you know has the opportunity to go to a school that teaches you Bible, you know, that teaches you the Bible, the words of life, the word of God. Not everybody has that opportunity. So take this opportunity, in particular with this one class, Bible, and study God's word, not to pass the test, not to just get an A on the test because the father is going to bring the hammer if you don't. But these are the words of life. This Bible that you are studying, they are the words of life. The scripture says they are active, they're sharp. They're sharper than two-edged sword, piercing the spirit and the soul asunder. They are alive. So I encouraged her, take this opportunity. You have to memorize some scripture for the test. I know, I get it, you're about getting the grade. But take this opportunity to let those words settle in your heart. Let them sink deep down into you so that you will have life. I asked her, just by way of an example, I said, what was your scripture verse 2 weeks ago? You know, the one that you memorized 2 weeks ago. And, you know, again, sorry, Kylie, I don't mean to embarrass you or anything, but there was a representation of, you know, just getting it in her heart for the test, not necessarily for life, you know. So I said, take this opportunity. You got a great opportunity. Eat those words. Devour the word. Learn it. Know it. Digest it. Because they are the words of life. Let me ask you this. How many of us approach the scripture that way from time to time? Where we look into God's word essentially to pass the test. Maybe we study the Word of God because of our skewed perception of the Father. And you know, He's like waiting up there, waiting for us to come home. And if we don't bring Him good grades, so to speak, He's going to bring the hammer. He's going to punish us, you know. So, oh my goodness, I got to study God's Word today because if I don't, God's not going to be pleased with me. So let me see. Look, okay. Lord, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Great. Awesome. I should pass. Or maybe we study the word to pass the test. Again, you know, where we study the word 2 hours. And we say, if I study the word 2 hours and I get up before the sun comes up, not only study the word 2 hours, but I get up before the sun comes up. Because that's what super spiritual people do, right? They get up before the sun comes up and read God's word and study and pray through God's word. If I do that, I know, sure, I'm going to get an A. Or maybe I'll study 1 hour sometime during the day when I get a chance. For an hour, though. An hour, that's a lot of time. That should at least get me a B. Or maybe we just spend 15 minutes before we get our day going in a little Devo, you know, get some slick little devotion, has some word in it, has some other good stuff in it. 15 minutes before, and then 15 minutes before we go to bed as well. 15 minutes before we get our day going, 15 minutes before we go to bed. Surely, we'll pass at least. We'll get a C, right? That's good enough. Or possibly, we're just random studiers. You know the type. The ones who understand that the subject matter of the scripture is good and it's helpful for our journey. But we want instantaneous answers. We want the revelation right then and right there. We don't want to spend the time digging into God's word. We just want like the microwave answer. You know, it's almost like the magic eight ball. God, do you love me today? Not a chance. Try again. Is that the approach of some of our study? We just want the word right there. Lord, what is your word? It reminds me of a guy who decided that he wanted to get some guidance from the word of God. So he was a random studier like this, and he said, you know what, I'm going to need some guidance. So I'm just going to open my Bible to a place, a random place. I'm going to put my finger on the passage of Scripture and hear what the Lord has for me today. He said to the Lord, "Tell me what I should do in life." And he opened his Bible and put his finger on Matthew 27:5, which says, "Judas went out and hanged himself." So we thought, oh, well, maybe I'll try again. Surely that can't be the answer. This time he put his finger on Luke 10:37, which reads, "Go and do likewise." He thought to himself, "Dear Lord, speak to me clearer, please." He tried a third time, and he got to John 13:27, which says, "What you are about to do, do quickly." Just for the sake of clarity, I don't recommend this approach to Bible study. It goes nowhere fast. So what do we do? How is the word supposed to affect us? What are we supposed to do with it? You know, we started a series a couple of weeks ago. I called it an everyday encounter. And really it's toward the life of discipline, the spiritual disciplines, where we will be talking about the study of Scripture and God's Word and what it means for us. We'll also be talking about prayer and what it means to be a praying person in a praying body of people. We'll talk about worship as a discipline, that this is why we were created. That's why we exist, to worship the living God. And then we'll talk about service together in community and what that looks like as a discipline. But I don't use the word discipline because it just seems so rote and routine. You know, we just like, we got to discipline ourselves to read the word. You know, I don't know about you, but I've had those experiences from time to time where I've gone a couple of days even and hadn't really dug into God's word, haven't really looked to what the Lord is saying to us. There have been times where I've just gone, "Lord, speak to me." And all of a sudden I hear him in a gentle way say, I have spoken to you. Come commune with me. Eat my words. Let them be sweet to your lips. The psalmist in Psalms 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It seems simple. We don't just look to the word to get the intricacies of the word, to understand how this passage connects with this passage and how they all connect in this one seamless story of redemption from beginning to end. We don't simply just look at the word to understand the concepts of the scripture. We don't study God's word just to understand that he is God and that he sent his son to die that we might live. We don't just look to the word to understand the cognitive understanding of the words written in the scripture, but we look to the word as light to our feet, as a guide along our path of life. We cannot live in an honoring life to the Lord without honoring and being obedient to his word. Would you agree with that? Okay, wait a second. Let me see if I can restate that clear. We can't live an honoring life toward the Lord without honoring and being obedient to his word. Would you agree with that? Okay. I'm a little perplexed. Yes, but not crushed. I'm not crushed. Man, that's good. We look to God's word because it shows us the way. It continually lights the path. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever changed the light bulb and just stared into the light? How'd you feel after that? Like seeing spots? But how many of you typically, Steve is always the exception to every rule, but how many of you normally change a light to stare into it? Not usually on purpose, right? You probably didn't do it on purpose. I don't know. Maybe Steve did. I'm not gonna put it past him. But most of us, when we change a light bulb, it's because we need light. We don't change the light bulb to stare into it, to glare into the light bulb. Yeah, unless you're a bug, and then it's like, no, don't go to the light. We look at God's word as a light for our feet and to light up our path. I was recently, actually this weekend, camping, and April asked me just a few minutes before it got dark, did you bring the flashlights? You know, I'm like, yes. How many did you bring? I brought a couple. Are they powerful ones? Literally her questions to me. I'm like, this is weird. Why is she so concerned about the light? But she understands when we've gone camping before that it gets really dark. And if you have to go anywhere, like in the middle of the night, like we actually did on Friday night, we woke up at 5 o'clock. I won't go into the gory details, but we had some serious issues with one of our children, and we needed some light to light our path to the facilities. April did not get the flashlight. She asked me, Brent, I need some help. Where's the flashlight? Flashlight. She didn't turn the flashlight on and look and walk a path. She shined the light on the path that she could get up to the bathroom. And that is what the word is for in our life. It gives light to our feet, and it shows us the way. It continually lights the path. It's a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. Turn with me really quickly to 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10. I'm just going to tell you just a couple of practical things from the scripture. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10. I'm going to read this really quick while you turn there. Sorry, I didn't give the team scriptures back there, so hopefully you brought your Bible. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim. This is Paul writing to Timothy. My aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So essentially Paul is saying what I reiterated just a second ago, that through the scripture, through the study of God's word and the understanding of God's word, we can honor God by our obedience and our life in the word. Through our understanding of him, we can honor him. And there's no other way to honor him apart from studying and being obedient to the word of God. No other way. It says this is how we understand and recognize good from evil. It's through the scripture, the God-breathed scripture, the spirit-powerful scripture. This is the way we understand and recognize good from evil. Through the scripture. The word of God lights our way to salvation. If you look at it again, verse 15 says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings," which at that point was the Old Testament, the Torah, the Psalms, the poetry writings, the prophets, all of those things. He is reminding Timothy that from a child, from his childhood, that he was acquainted with the sacred writings. He was acquainted with the Word of God. And it says in other passages that his mother and his grandmother were very instrumental. They were Hebrews, so they knew the Scriptures. They knew and understood the Scriptures. His dad was a Greek, and he probably didn't get so much from his dad as far as the Scriptures were concerned. But his mom and his grandmother were Hebrews. They taught the Word of God to him. And Paul is saying, remember that from your childhood you were acquainted with God's Word. You were acquainted so much so that it was able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So very foundationally, apart from the Scripture, we don't even know and recognize that Jesus is Lord. We cannot have salvation apart from the revealing of God's Word. We can't have salvation in Jesus Christ apart from the Spirit's activity on the Word of God revealing to us who He is. I wondered for so long, and it's just kind of hitting me. This week I tried and tried and tried to memorize Ephesians chapter 1. Quote some of that toward the end on a regular basis. But it just now hit me that the revelation of God's Word, why would I want to do Ephesians chapter 1? What is it about Ephesians chapter 1? And it literally just hit me that it is the plan of salvation right there. Let me see if I can get. I'm going to get so far and then stop. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to His glorious, am I right? Grace? No, I'm sorry. According to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. Everybody say lavished because it's so fun to say. Lavished. That He lavished on us. According to the riches of His grace that He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, revealing to us the mystery of His will. The mystery of His will. And then something to the effect of, that basically, finish it out for me, Anthony. According to His good pleasure, that all... So I don't even know why I went to Ephesians, but now when I said 2 Timothy chapter 3, that you know the scriptures because it's the way of salvation. This is the picture of salvation that God, before time, before the foundation of the world, chose me that I would be holy and blameless before him. That I would receive redemption. I would receive adoption as a son into the kingdom of God, as a son of the king. And then I would have redemption through the blood of the Lamb that we sang about earlier. The blood that we overcome with, the blood of the Lamb. I would have redemption through that. We don't understand and recognize the plan of salvation and Jesus' glorious will and plan without this word. Without it being revealed to our hearts and enlightened, showing the path and keeping us on the straight path. We don't understand it apart from this. So God says to us today that this word is life. It's light. It lights up your path. It shows you the way. I can't be shown the way apart from the word. And this is what Paul is saying here to Timothy. This word that you've known from your youth, from your childhood. Shane, let me just tell you something. Let me encourage something. Your mom and your grandparents are teaching you the scripture, right? And you've learned some things here as well. And Miss Christie's taught you and other teachers have taught you. These aren't just things, you know, that you just learn and then you're like, okay, ho-hum, ha, I'm going to go home my life and do my thing. This is life to you. And Paul is telling Timothy here, remember what you learned as a child. When your mom and your grandmother, very similar to what's going on in your life right now, your mom and your grandmother teaching you the word of God. Paul tells Timothy as a young man, he's probably 30-something at the time when he wrote this, remember those things. Remember them because they are life to you. They will lead you to life and salvation with Jesus Christ. They will lead you along your path. When you come in and encounter different things along the way, those words, the life-giving word of God, will lead you on your way, okay? So remember those things, right? All right, all the other kids, the same thing. Paul is telling him, remember those things that your mom and your grandmother taught you because they lead you to salvation. They lead you to a life in Jesus Christ. The word lights the way as well to righteousness. Verse 16 says, Verse 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So the word leads us to a life of righteousness. We said that last week in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit after baptism, is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Jesus, let me tell you, soaked in the Word of God. He says in some places, I don't say anything unless I hear the Father saying it. I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. So Jesus was a man of God's Word. And when the enemy came to destroy him, came to circumvent the process, the plan of redemption expressed in Jesus Christ, what did Jesus do? It is written. He quoted to him the scripture because it is the way unto righteousness. It is the way that we live in right standing before God. We follow and obey God's word. We live a righteous life because of God's word, because of the blood of the Lamb that has imputed upon us, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he has become for us righteousness and sanctification. But we follow him by listening and obeying and doing the will of God through the word of Christ. It leads us to righteousness. In John 17:17, Jesus says, this is not quoted, but John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them. He's praying for us. He's praying for the believers there. He's praying for the disciples, but by implication, he's praying for us. And he asked the Father, sanctify them in truth. In other words, make them right. Make them righteous. You know, bring them, according to 1 Corinthians, from one image of glory to another into the image of Jesus Christ. Sanctify them. Make them holy in truth. And then he declares, your word is truth. Your word leads us to a life of righteousness and sanctification. Then finally, the word lights the way and to answers of life. The word lights the way to give us the answers of life. Just think about this for 1 second. Those of you who might be dealing with stress in your life or difficulty or situations that are just not very fun. I know there are several of you here that have that as your experience right now. Whether it be Wayne dealing with sickness and the eye situation. There's many other ones I don't want to say out of turn, but think about this for a second. Jesus in Matthew 26 verse 51, he's about to be handed over to be crucified. And the guards are coming to him to seize him, and one of his disciples, according to Matthew 26, kind of stands in opposition, pulls out his sword, and cuts off the ear of one of the guards. Does anybody remember this story? Does everybody know this story? Verse 51 of 26, and behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, and listen, I want you to pay attention to this. Jesus is about to be handed over to death. He is disturbed on the inside. He is praying to the Lord, if there be any other way, Lord, please let me out of this. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He's perplexed, but not crushed. He's going, why? Why do I have to deal with this? He's dealing with a lot of emotional stuff going on. But Jesus said to his follower, put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled? That it must be so. Jesus is about to die. And because of his heart for the Word of God, because of his perspective toward the Word of God as it being a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path, he tells his disciple, put your sword away. I know this is hard for you. It's hard for me. I know that you're troubled because of the death that awaits me. But put your sword away because the scripture has to be fulfilled. The scripture has to be fulfilled. Put your sword away because the scripture must be fulfilled. We're facing all kinds of stuff. I'll just say candidly, we're not facing anything like what Jesus faced. But we're facing stuff, right? How many of you are facing stuff, just if you're honest? Facing stuff. Jesus says to us today, you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And there is a tendency for us to pull out the sword and whack off the ear of those that are opposing us and say, get me out of this thing. But Jesus is telling us today to follow his example and put your sword away and say, this is what the Lord declares in the scripture. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Put your sword back in its sheath so that the scriptures might be fulfilled in your life. That really, by flesh we won't overcome, by our own working we won't overcome, by our own power we won't overcome, by the fact that we can run really fast from troubles that exist in our life, we won't overcome, but by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Put your sword back so that the scriptures might be fulfilled in your life, that you stand firm against the assignment of the enemy. By the power that's revealed in God's word. You stand firm against the attacks of the enemy because it's leading your path, it's lighting your way. It gives you the answer to life. How many of you are dealing with relational strife in your home or in other places? What's the word of God say? The Lord is saying to you, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled in your life today. So that the scriptures might be fulfilled in your life. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church in that he laid down his life. So that the scripture might be fulfilled. How many of you are dealing with sickness in your body today? Nobody? Well, a healthy bunch. That's good. Praise God. Jesus said that stripes were put on his back for our healing. So that the scriptures might be fulfilled. We approach God today and say, you know what? I know and recognize that you are a healer. I sing about it once a month at least. We talk about the healing power of God. I know, God, that you're a healer. There's a tendency for me to do things my own way. I'm trying to do things my own way, but my posture is for you, God, to reach down your powerful hand that the scripture says is not too short. That you would reach down your hand and touch my body. Sarah, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled in your life, in Jesus' name, I just declare healing over your body, over your abdomen, the stuff that's going on in your life. I'm going to give the Lord one more opportunity. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to continue to pray that the scriptures might be fulfilled in your life and that the scriptures might be fulfilled among us, that he is still a powerful powerful God. He is still at work in the lives of his people. He is still caring for his people. It gives us the answer to life in every situation. You know, there's a lot. I know I'm like totally over time, but I'm sorry. I just got a couple more things to say and I'm done. There's a tendency right now in our society toward the word of God. When you start talking about the infallible word of God and that God's scripture is spirit-inspired and God-breathed and it's fruitful for a life in righteousness and lead us on the way of salvation, when you start making those statements and drawing the line in the sand in our culture today, there's a lot of pushback. There's like, really? I mean, God's word can't really be, like, the only thing. And we've allowed our culture to start changing the way we view the Bible, the way we view God's inspired word. Because, you know, we want to get on common ground with people. We want to be kind, and we want to do, you know, we want to make sure that we're, you know, welcoming to everybody. I understand that. I get it. But you know what? God says, my word will never pass away. My word is eternal. My word is powerful. It will never pass away. And we don't need to approach the scripture by what the culture says about it. We need to approach the scripture by what the scripture says about it. And he says that his word is eternal. It never ends. It never goes away. It is eternal, and it should shape every area of our life. It should shape every area of our culture. It should shape everything that we do. The Word of God, revealed by the Spirit of God, through the activity of His Spirit, He reveals His Word to us. And when we come and face strife in our relationships, He says, "What's the Word say about it?" When we come and we face a terminal illness, what does the Word say about it? When we come and try to understand and recognize how are we supposed to worship God, what does the Word say about it? What it pleases Him? I'm sorry, I'm getting excited. God's word should shape every area of our life. It gives us the answer to life. No matter what we're facing, no matter what's going on in our life, God's word is preeminent. It is the foundation from which we live. Apart from it, we fall. Apart from that, we fall. So I'm just going to encourage you. Most of you here are, home folk, I guess, for lack of a better way to say it. You're connected here with the Vineyard. I see some new faces, and hope you guys experience the presence of God in some sense or another today. But I want to encourage you as the pastor of this church. Eat God's word. Eat his word. And I'm not talking about just to pass the test. I'm not talking about just so we can win at Bible trivia in a home group or something. I'm talking about eat God's word and let it nourish you. Let it be food for you. Let the taste, the sweet taste of the word that the psalmist talks about, let it be rich on your lips. Let it be the norm of your life. Otherwise, we are standing on shaky ground if we stand on anything other than God's word revealed to us by his Spirit. We are on shaky ground. We desire God to reveal himself, and when we come here and we meet as a gathering of believers in this place, I pray every week that God would just show himself. Because when God shows himself, I can guarantee you it's a lot better than any music we can play. It's a lot better than any words that I can speak or anybody else can speak. When God shows himself, and it's powerful and it's awesome, it just blows all of our minds. So I say that to say I'm a spiritually hungry person for the presence of God. I want God's presence to show up among us, because really, I don't want to come here and just do church, just do our routine and get on the treadmill every week. I want God to show up in this place. But I also want to be a church and a body of believers that is rooted, grounded, standing firmly on God's word revealed to us by his Spirit. God's infallible word, his perfect word. I want to be that kind of people. That we don't move from anywhere unless we understand and recognize that God is speaking to us through his word to do so by his Spirit. Final passage, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, says this. and it's an encouragement to us on our journey. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. The Lord challenges us today, all of us, if you believe in Jesus Christ, have the powers of your discernment trained by the Word of God. As you soak in the Word of God, not the milk of the Word, but the meat of God's Word, you just are sustained by the fruit and the protein of God's Word, and you move every day from the foundation of God's Word, we will literally be able to know and discern between good and evil, because we're continual in God's Word. We're continually in His Word. So I'm talking about disciplines, but I'm talking about this is life. This is life where we seek and search out God in His Word, and He will speak to us. He will enlighten the Word to us. Let's pray.